thank you for that beautiful worship. And today I didn't wear a dress, so I get to put this in a back pocket and wiggle. I'm always jealous because Tamar and Kim get to be all demonstrative, and I'm like, oh, I have to put the thing on the... And usually I use that, so we'll see if I can see. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for these women, Lord. I thank you that we can indeed sing in the dark places. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, tonight I have titled the lesson for tonight, Lord, Help Me Choose Songs in the Dark. No matter how much God has prepared us, no matter how much we have prepared ourselves, for those of us who have surrendered and have a heart after the Lord, we will indeed face the challenge to learn and grow every day, and it never ends. So life can feel like big extremes on the way, way top, or dealing with the depths of the way, way down. Perhaps the key might be, where is our state of mind? And our state of mind is where is what is in our heart. As Christians, this amounts to how much we are willing to obey God and Holy Spirit leading. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Perhaps the one thing that should impact our lives as Christian women would be 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is loyal to him. The fact that God looks upon our hearts should cause us to be completely honest before him. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Good emanates from God. God is goodness. God is reflective. Good is reflective of God. All goodness resides in God. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Our state of mind is a purposeful result of what is in our heart. Our heart will come, out of our heart will come what we think on. The heart will produce what is in our minds. Always, what is coming out of our hearts? Our speech and our actions will reflect this. And Paul and Silas are a perfect example. I've titled this first part, We Will Sing in the Good Times. In Acts 16:6, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were on their missionary travels through Phrygia, Mysia, and then they tried to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit did not allow after Paul had had a vision. The Bible records they immediately set out for Macedonia, for their hearts wanted to obey God and wanted to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They ended up in a colony of Macedonia, more specifically a city called Philippi, which was a foremost city of Rome. Now in verse 10 of Acts 16, you see the word we, meaning the author, who is Luke, is now with them. So we have Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. They went to the riverside to pray because out of the good treasure of their heart, they were loyal to God in prayer. So there were women there by the riverside, and they spoke to them. And the Bible records that they sat down, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, and settled in for a conversation with these women. Now, a certain woman named Lydia, who was more attentive, listening with her ears and taking in all that Paul had to say. The Bible records that she worshiped God, meaning she was likely converted to Judaism. These women likely understood that there was one true God. They just had not heard the gospel. So out of the good treasure of Lydia's heart, she listened, and Paul gave her the gospel. And it might have went something like, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood that was shed on the cross, and now we have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. By faith, we are at peace with him, and now we are also safe from the wrath through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's important that we know how to share the gospel, and it doesn't have to be hard. When I was in college, I was in Texas, And I finished my sophomore year of college, and I did not want to stay in Texas for the summer. I wanted to go back to California and be near my friends. So I got a job with a friend of my family, and I worked at a jacuzzi company in Huntington Beach. So I had to live with my friend of the family, and it was an apartment. I didn't have a car. So my friend Laura would come over and see me quite often, and this apartment was really nice, had a really nice lap pool, a big jacuzzi, and a workout center, and we were hanging out in the jacuzzi. So we were kind of off to one corner of the jacuzzi, just minding our own business, and my friend Laura made these really cute necklaces. This was in 1985. They were super 80s and super cute. And she could paint the most cute little delicate flowers on these necklaces, and this off to the other side, there was about four people, and I can almost remember the main guy because he was holding a pitcher of margaritas. And he was off to the side, and we were way over on the other way, and we were just kind of, you know, keeping to ourselves. And I said, oh, Laura, I just wish that you could make these necklaces for, like, you know, more like Christian and to a little verse on there or something. You could put it in a bookstore. And I said, like the Calvary Chapel bookstore. And this guy with the margarita mix said, Calvary Chapel, I've been there. And I'm like, oh, you know, don't talk to the margarita man. And so my friend Laura, who had been a Christian for 4 years, said, really, you've been to Calvary Chapel? And I'm like, oh, don't talk to him. And she says, he says, well, yeah. And she says, what did you think? And he said, well, I liked it. And she said, who did you hear speak? And I mean, she just was so kind and so engaging. And I think the last thing she said was, I would invite you to come back. That was it. And a week or two later, I was back at the pool, and I think I was with a different friend. And that guy came up to me and says, I want you to know I'm coming back to church. So it doesn't have to be this hard, and it wasn't too hard for Lydia. So number one, she did hear the gospel out of the good treasure of her heart. Number two, she and all of her household were baptized because they heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out of the goodness of their hearts. And number three, she opened up her home to these four men to stay at her home, and it does appear that it was for many days. So out of the good treasure of Paul's heart, they had a place to stay, and Lydia's heart was good because she was showing hospitality. So where would I be if I didn't talk about hospitality? You know, March was a crazy month for me. I had 3 weekends in a row of company, and it just kept coming. So I do believe that when it comes to hospitality, we do need to be prepared. Have at least somewhat of an idea. I mean, even if it's just a basket that you can bring out, something so that you can have those last-minute guests, that's a good thing. But I want to say you also need to receive hospitality. And I had just shared with my small group that on Saturday, I received a text about 11 o'clock in the morning, and it said, Valerie, I'm so excited for you and Rob to come to dinner, and I didn't know. Because this particular friend had said, would it be good to have dinner on a Friday or a Saturday, like there would be a Friday or Saturday someday, you know? And I said, Saturday someday. And I didn't know she meant that Saturday. So we did a sprinkle through Zoom for my daughter because she's in Arkansas. Then we dashed into the car and drove to Richardson. And very, very lovely dinner. So always be ready to be hospitable as well as accepting hospitality. And here's my one little, a good idea. So my Aunt Barb was coming to stay with us. This was a couple years ago. And I always, always wash the sheets. When somebody stayed in the guest room, I just take the sheets and wash them and then put them right back on. Well, I had gone into the guest room because it had been a while, and I'm fluffing up the bed and for my Aunt Barb, and I don't know how, I just was fussing with the sheets, and I found a dead cricket. And I thought, oh my word, can you imagine if she would have found this dead cricket in my sheets? So now I just leave the sheets and I wash them right before the company comes. So I just want to say, though, this. I actually wrote the word this exclamation point because witnessing to others can be easy or hard. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ can be easy or hard. Inviting people to stay at your home can be easy or hard. But the question is can we take a good, a bad, or a mundane situation and make it into a victorious opportunity? Looking at the story of Lydia and Paul, I think, wow, it couldn't have been more perfect. What a delight to witness God's working in a marvelous way, bringing Paul and his friends to Philippi, the converging of circumstances so that four men could pray and witness to these women. God was arranging contacts and opening doors and seeing people come to Jesus. They had a good treasure of Holy Spirit leading in their hearts and a supernatural flow so that the gospel came to Europe. In 2 Corinthians, it says, God has sealed us and given us a spirit in his spirit in our hearts. And I would think that those first nights at Lydia's house, can you picture it? You know, she would have had a house, and then probably those four men would have an attached room, so it wasn't improper, outside or maybe even upstairs, okay? And so if you can picture this, I'm just picturing them maybe having a little campfire, and they're like, Paul, tell that story again, how you had that vision. And then how? Remember how we all came to know the Lord? And then they tell it again, and then singing, and then they're praying, and they're just so grateful. Just all kinds of goodness just dripping off of them. And it's just, this is a love of Jesus with willing hearts filled with the treasure of God's word. And we just go, that is such a good thing. Ezra 6 says, the good hand of his God was upon him, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. So I've titled this second part, Sing to the Lord in the Devastating Dark. So let's see what Luke had to say through Holy Spirit leading in Acts 16:16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. So I imagine if these men were going down to the riverside, that if they were going back to pray, that there might be a spirit of gladness and expectancy, as prayer had led a whole household of people to Jesus. And instead, they were followed by a rather annoying demon who had taken up homesteading in a poor slave girl. So instead of spreading the gospel for many days, they were hounded by Satan's little helper for many days. Paul knew it was never good to make friends with an enemy, even if they speak the word of truth. So Paul, in the name of Jesus, commanded the evil spirit to come out of this girl, and immediately she was set free that very hour. Verse 19 says, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Verse 20, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. So now that the slave girl could no longer be a prophet and soothsaying, she was now a financial loss to her owners. They resented Paul. They grabbed Paul and Silas because they were Jews. They were Jews, and not only that, they were speaking about their God. So in this time, Rome was considered very self-governing, very with it, very just open-minded, but not when it came to the Jewish God, not when it came to the Israelites, not when it came to the true God. So when they grabbed Paul and Silas, it was because they were Jews, because they knew they would have a case. They did not grab Timothy because he was a half-Jew. They did not grab Luke because he was a full Gentile. The Bible records that they tore off their clothes. This would be extremely, extremely humiliating for a Jewish man. And then they beat them with the rods. I first thought, picturing this in my mind, I thought, wow, you know, did Silas kind of look over and it would be like, oh, he's getting beaten? And then I thought, no, they would not have looked, because if their clothes had been torn off, it would be too bad of a thing to go and look. So I'm thinking maybe even Timothy and Luke might have even had to turn around. This is really disgraceful, beyond what we can imagine, horrifying. So after this, the jailer put the two men in the most secure part of the prison, taking precaution to put their feet in stocks, which meant their legs were spread as far as they could go so that there would be continual cramping. With this, we go, that's an agonizing disruption. Two men with hearts after God brought down to the depths of what should be despair. Hopeless despair. In the New King James, it says in 1625, Acts 1625 records, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Sometimes at night, we hear God the most. So why midnight? Why the darkest time of the night? Psalm 119:62 says, "At midnight I will rise and give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment." These middle hours of the night, the night watch would be midnight to 3 a.m. Psalm 16:17, "My heart instructs me in the night seasons." Psalm 17:3, "You, Lord, have visited me in the night." 1 Chronicles 17:3, "It happened at night that the word of God came." 2 Chronicles 1:7, "On that night, God appeared to Solomon." Paul would have known these scriptures. He absolutely would have known these scriptures. And I was thinking about him and Saul, Silas praying in the dark. And I think that if they had one compelling reason to pray, it would be Jesus' own example. In Luke 22:40, it says, Jesus said, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." In verse 41, Jesus knelt down and prayed. Verse 44 says, "In agony, he prayed more earnestly." Jesus was resolute in prayer in his deepest anguish. Because Paul knew the Holy Spirit had directed him to Philippi, the colony of Macedonia, he knew that God had brought them there. And I think if there was one example of Jesus that he might have just drawn from, I can't help but think of John 11:41 through 42. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always do hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me." Paul would never lose an opportunity to have a captive audience. So we carry about dying our dying body. Just as Jesus died, we have the life of Jesus in us. So in our mortal body, we are always delivered to death and death-like situations, that the life of Jesus may be obvious and made clear in our mortal bodies. So Paul and Silas prayed, and in their prayers, their loyal hearts were led to sing hymns. Now, I need you to listen to the King James Version. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God." All the other translations use the word hymns. This word praises is humneo, spelled H-Y-M-N-E-O, humneo. In English, this word is hymns. So I could only find this exact Greek word in Acts 16:25 using the Blue Letter Bible app. In the outline of biblical usage, it records hymns of Psalms 113 through 118 and 136, which the Jews would call the great halal. Now, if you know your New Testament, you know in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, you see the word hymns. That word is hymnos, which means praise songs. So I'm going to use the Psalms 113 through 118 and 136. But I want you to bear in mind, Paul and Silas are in a great deal of pain. This is not fun. It's horrible. And they were here in this prison simply because of greed and because there was anti-Semitism in Rome. Now, if you've done your homework and you've read this part in Acts, you know that there is going to be an earthquake, and you know that the doors are going to get shook open and the bonds are going to fall loose. So I'm bringing this in because I want to read Psalm 113 through 118, 136, but don't worry, I've compiled it and compacted it and made it really tiny. What I've done is I tried to find the parts that I felt like Paul and Silas would have sang a little louder. They would have known these. These are the kinds of things that Jewish little boys would know at age 3 all the way up, and they would do it while they did their chores. They would sing these songs while they were on journeys and going to different feasts. And so let's just go over this and see if you can hear parts that you think would go along with their particular predicament that they're in right now. Psalm 113 through 118 and Psalm 136. "Praise the Lord from rising of the sun to its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised. He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Why should the Gentiles say, 'So where is their God?' But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold. But the Lord has been mindful of us, and he will bless us. I love the Lord because he has heard, because he has inclined his ear to me, and I will call upon him. The pains of death surrounded me. Oh, Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, who remembered us in our lowly state and rescued us from our enemies. Oh, thanks to the Lord God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. So we know that in great difficulty we will pray and pray and pray. But can we sing songs? So I asked permission from my son and my daughter-in-law to tell this story. My son was so excited for my daughter-in-law, she's here tonight, Charity, to come to the United States. And in preparation, I mean probably a solid month before she even got here, he started painting one picture after another and wrote "Welcome Home" in the Rwandan language. He got a Texas picture and a Rwanda picture and a bracelet with Rwanda on one side and Texas on the other, flowers and many things. Charity said to me, she said, it was just one surprise after another after 27 hours on a plane. But let me tell you, here's the part what I want to get to. He hired a mariachi band to greet her in the baggage claim of the airport. And my son had a song prepared to sing to her. So, of course, she comes out, and what does everybody do? And they start recording because they think that he's going to ask her to marry him. Well, they're already married. Well, he was supposed to sing a song, and he said, "Mom, I couldn't remember one word of the song. I couldn't remember one word." What's my point? My point is when emotions are high and there's a lot going on, it's really hard to sing. So you know what? I tried it on myself. I said, okay, Kim told me that I could do the Paul and Silas teaching. And I thought, I'm gonna see if I can do this. So here's, oh my. It was March, and it said on my phone, 40% chance of thunderstorm. So I thought, no big deal, just 40%. And I charged out to go to my little Sprouts farmer's market job, which I dearly love. I had a really good time working there. And I'm in the car. My husband and I always call each other, and usually we pray or just exchange whatever's going on. And I said, "Robert, I forgot to turn a light on for the dog, and it says there's a 40% chance of thunderstorms. Can you just keep an eye on the radar?" You know, I meant radar. I didn't say the word radar. I said, "Can you keep an eye on the weather?" And he said, "Sure, no problem. And if it starts to rain, I'll just get Remy and then bring him back to my office." I was like, okay, good. So at 6 o'clock, I had completely forgot about the whole storm thing because I was really engaged in my job. And at 6 o'clock, I'm with a customer, and this is in Frisco, Texas. And I start hearing the rain hitting the roof, that metal roof of Sprouts. That thunderstorm did come. And I thought, just rain. Well, then I heard a switch. Like, instead of it, it went woo, woo. And I'm like, oh, hail. So I, you know, run over. Yeah, my car's getting hailed on. Okay, run back. Well, as soon as I get back to my little vitamin department, the sirens start going. And that means very good chance there could be a tornado. So, okay, call my husband. "Did you get the dog?" He said, "Well, I looked outside." He said, "I walked outside and I looked and I didn't see any scary clouds. So I just went back to work." I'm feeling a little frustrated about this point. And then he said, "So when it started to rain, I pulled out to go get Remy, but it was hailing." And I'm going to quote him now. And he said, "And since I didn't want to die," I can hardly say. "Since I didn't want to die, I pulled back in." And I mean, just okay, so I hang up, and then I hear the second round of hail. We had a second round of hail, and I look again, and it's on my car, and I said, can you sing? And I, you know, there's still a few customers in, and the fluorescent lights, and Huey Lewis is playing in my ear, and then it was Cyndi Lauper, and I don't know, Taylor Swift, and I just stood there, and I said, I cannot think of one thing to sing. I'm aggravated. I'm anxious and I'm fearful. And what I'm going to say is, I am going to finish this a little bit, but Paul and Silas sang hymns. Acts 16:26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. I think this is a key verse. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. So the reason I did emphasize the word suddenly is I was a little bit flummoxed about the jailer sleeping. I was like, wait, didn't he hear him praying and singing? So he could have, because suddenly just means unexpectedly. So they could have prayed, sang, and then there could have been some time, and then the earthquake, and then he heard it all. Or when the magistrates brought Paul and Silas into the jailer, they said, put this down in the records. They're Jews talking about their one true God. And the jailer, of course, was seeing these two guys behaving differently than the way prisoners normally behaved. And maybe they were already starting to pray. Something, somehow he knew that they believed in the one true God and they had a gospel message. So then him and his household, of course, heard the word of God and they were indeed baptized. So my challenge, or our challenge to all of us, is to make a choice to pray and to sing when it is the devastating dark. So let us not hesitate to receive joy from the Lord and let his light shine in our dark places. So I'm just throwing this out there. What about the shaded places, the irritating places? What if we chose to praise and sing? And by singing, I do mean you can quote verses from the Bible. It could be, I like actually pure, honest to goodness scripture. I think that would be the best way to fight the blues. But if you have a praise song, sing it. All day long, we make choices. If God threw his life into our hearts and mind, what if we sent prayer and singing back? So what might we lose? Anxiety, worry, pain, depression, hopelessness, fear, shame, anger. What might we gain? Peace, comfort, hope, sense of his presence, rest, and a lessening of circumstances. So there are some things that are annoying, but what if we practiced prayer and songs of praise in the bothersome? If we put a little teeth into the matter with the small stuff, could we develop a habit? Could we actually sing to God dealing with the depths of the way down? If we purpose to keep our hearts before the Lord, maybe when that annoying alarm goes off, we could say, good morning, Lord, today let me please you. If we stub our toe against the bed, we say, thank you, Lord, for you care for me. If you walk into the kitchen and you catch your belt loop on the drawer pull, not even going to say that one, but you come into the kitchen and you discover that the dog did indeed throw up overnight and you say, Lord, this is not too fun, but I know you've made me capable. But then the annoyances get personal. The email from the teacher that your teenager did not turn in the project and still has a zero. The battery in your car is dead. The air conditioning in your house is out. You change your plans. The car gets fixed, but you get a speeding ticket. Lord, you know, praise the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Thank you for loving me. But what if the annoying and the personal gets painful? You have cancer, or worse, your husband has cancer. Your kid goes prodigal and no longer loves Jesus. Your husband wants out of the marriage. A loved one dies before their time. Someone criticizes you and you are trying really hard. You can't even verbalize without crying. You lose your job or you have a sickness that won't leave. You get put in jail. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Lord, you are my help and my shield. The Lord is on my side and I will not fear. We might get it when the annoying and the personal things happen, but I don't know that we'll ever understand when the devastatingly painful things happen, and we will want to say, O Lord, why? And the answer will always be God. And we let God be God, and everything we do is to God's glory. And we do not lose heart. When life gets painful and life feels mean, helpless, and frustrating, like a trick is being played, all plans come to a halt, and we make a resolve to sing. So I tried one more time. I was in my little Sprouts job again, and yes, Lionel Richie was playing above me. And I said, you're going to do this. You're going to do it. And I know I wasn't upset, like anxious, upset, but I was in this crazy loud fluorescent light with people, and I wanted to see if I could do it. So I did. I quoted our Psalm 100 that we memorized on the last four, and I did it. And I did it with all the loud and the crazy. It is a little bit hard because it takes a certain amount of focus. I'm encouraging you to do this. Okay, let God's power come into the annoying, the personal, and the devastating dark. Isaiah 12, 22 and 3 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. Therefore, with joy in my heart, I will draw water from the wells of salvation. And where would I be if I didn't quote this little verse? It's just part of it, but this would be something you could say back. It's Psalm 42, 9. And in the night, his song shall be with me. Heavenly Father, I do thank you and praise you for tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, let us be able to sing to you when it's hard. Lord, let us be able to hear your word and hear your voice and remember, just even if it's snippets of the verses that we're memorizing. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Let our group time be a pleasure to you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Hi, everybody. Surprise, I'm up here. It's a surprise to me too, as it usually is. All right, so I don't know about you, but I like want to listen to so much that Val says because she's so anointed with God's word and memorizing God's word as she prays her name into God's word that my notes are just scattered because I don't want to take notes and I want to listen. So this is, bear with me, this is what I wrote down. Let's see. Out of the good treasure of Lydia's heart, she listened, she heard, she got baptized, and her whole family did too, and she opened her home. Out of the good treasure of Paul and Silas's heart, they were loyal to God in prayer, and it caused them to be obedient and to spread the word. Can we take opportunities God gives us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the unknown, to be victorious for him? Sometimes at night, that's when we hear God the most. Despite agonizing distraction and despair in the middle of the night, they heard God and they made God heard. Let's see. In great difficulty, we will pray, pray, and pray, but can we sing? And then when we have to make it a habit of praise. So in the moments of bothersome, when life is bothersome, when it's painful, when there's suffering, when there's trials, we need to let God be God and let his will be done and it be done to his glory. So sharing a story, funny story on the way over here. When Kim asked me to do this little takeaway, I did the homework right before because I'm a procrastinator. And I was like so happy. And I'm like, why are we teaching on Hannah's song again? Because I'm doing my homework and I did it all about Hannah's song. And I'm like really excited because Hannah's song is super personal to me. And my mother-in-law drives with me to church, and she was asking me for help with the questions. And I'm like, sure, I could help you. I did the study, whatever. And she was reading me the questions, and I'm like, that's not the study we're doing. And she's like, yes, it is. So I'm asked to give a takeaway on something that I haven't even read yet. So it was a surprise to me, but I will say that the Lord used that as an opportunity for my mother-in-law to witness to me because she did the homework, which she doesn't normally do. So God had it all worked out ahead of time. But he used it as a blessing for her to witness to me. So with that, let's go to our groups. Val's group is over there, right? Kim's group is in the cry room. Jill's group is in the back. And then Tamar's group is straight right here, yonder on the front.